Works very well. All right, apologies for my tardiness, I was a little lost. We'll call this meeting to order at 11:10 today. And can I get a roll call? Ms. Rowland?
Yes, I'll go ahead. Natalie Manning?
Here.
Nicole Cover?
Here.
Dan Prentice?
Dee Baldwin in place of Dan Prentice.
Oh, Dee Baldwin, thank you. Jose Garcia?
Here.
Sarah Ryan?
Here.
Donnie Toll?
Here.
Lisa Murphy?
Here.
Stephen Walpole?
Here.
And Dan Freitas, it looks like, is not here.
Thank you. And introductions of any new guest members, I think you're probably new.
Yes, let's see.
Jose Garcia with Santa Cruz PD.
Yes, Jose Garcia with, what happened to my, there we go.
Jose Garcia is joining us to take the place of John Bush for the city of Santa Cruz. Let's see, and then we have Natalie Manning taking the place of Tamara, correct, for the city of Watsonville. And then Dan Freitas is taking the place of Jacob Ainsworth, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Lots of changes, lots of new people, and I will, I'll talk a little bit about getting, trying to arrange some tours with the newest members of the board and or meetings as we get a little in my role report.
Thank you. All right, so those introductions, we'll move on to any late additions or changes to the agenda. Seeing none. All right, oral communications. Any person that may address the Santa Cruz County Animal Shelter Board of Directors during the oral communications period. All oral communications should be directed to items or issues that would be within the jurisdiction of the Santa Cruz County Animal Shelter, but not on today's agenda. Board members will not take action or respond immediately to oral communications presented, but may choose to follow up later, either individually or on a subsequent agenda. Is there anyone from the public that would like to address the board?
Yes.
Welcome.
Good morning. Does that sound okay?
Yes.
My name is Nan. I'm the executive director of the Santa Cruz County Animal Shelter Foundation. I just wanted to give a few highlights of some of our current projects. The foundation has been meeting with contractors and potential additional funders for the planned outdoor storage and truck port improvements at the Watsonville shelter facility. We are eagerly looking forward to further guidance and planning from the JPA board, the operational subcommittee, and the strategic planning process so that we can continue to build on fundraising and capital campaign needs. The foundation has also been helping the benefit shop to navigate the closure and transition planning. We are so grateful for the benefit shop manager, Leah Goodman, and the benefit shop volunteers for stewarding this community space for 7 years and raising hundreds of thousands of dollars for the shelter. Leah will be sharing a little bit more about where their journey is currently, but I just wanted to express some appreciation for her and her team. And then to wrap up, I wanted to let you know about our awkward pet portraits, which is being led by Sarah Crummel, one of our board members. She couldn't be here today, so I get to share about that. She has organized an online in-person activity fundraiser that intersects education and arts with the work that we're doing in animal welfare. And it's just basically a really fun way to highlight the shelter's work in the community. She has recruited over 900 professional and amateur artists, the majority of them being high school students all across the county, all the way from Pajaro to San Lorenzo Valley and Bonnie Doon, and then all of the various school districts in county as well. And our fundraiser ends on February 16th. It's really fun. It's online with more information, but basically you can have an awkward pet portrait. I think Amber will show you some visual samples later. You can have a pet portrait done by one of these artists, or you can sponsor a shelter pet and we'll put their portrait up on their kennel. So we hope you will share with your friends and family and consider getting a pet portrait yourself. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Leah Goodman, and I am the aforementioned manager of the Benefit Shop in Santa Cruz. And if you haven't been there, I'm sorry that you haven't, but you would like it if you were. We have been privileged to occupy the building at 870 17th Avenue for the last 7 years. And we are thankful to the Parks Department for allowing that and giving us a reduced rent so that we could grow this business, which benefits the animals in our community. We are presently being asked to move out of the building because Parks is expanding their functions. That being said, for the last several months, we have been doing a very in-depth search for a new location. We've found one, finally. And that location is in the East Cliff Shopping Center in the Live Oak area. It's important for us to stay in Live Oak because we have become a focal point. People come to the Benefit Shop not just to buy things and to support the mission that we have, but also it's sort of a gathering place. And I like to say that it is one of the greatest dispensaries of animal pet treats, because we have a contingent that comes in regularly, our four-legged friends, and they know exactly where the treats are. And they will not leave until given one or more. In any event, the reason that I would like to address you this morning is that in this move, we have begun raising money through a GoFundMe, and all of the criteria has been met to make this move with regard to preparation for licensing and fictitious name filing and so on. What we do need is some help in extending our insurance coverage for 6 months until such time as our 501c3 has been duly qualified. We would thank you very much for any consideration to that matter. And we want to be able to continue the wonderful work that we're doing. We're making adjustments to our present schedule, and we'll extend our hours at the new location so that we can make more money to continue our wonderful mission of supporting the neediest animals in Santa Cruz County. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Seeing none, we will move on to our consent agenda. Do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda items?
I'll move approval of the consent agenda.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any abstentions?
I'll abstain.
All right, moving on to the regular agenda. We will start with the general manager's oral report.
Okay, thanks for being here, everybody. So we conducted two adoption specials in December. One was sponsored by the Bissell Pet Foundation. The Shelters Foundation hosted a wonderful staff and volunteer appreciation event, and a previous adopter donated a bundle of toys to the shelter dogs just in time for Christmas, which was a lot of fun. Another great gift was that 266 volunteers contributed over 4,000 hours during December and January. Adoptions were steady through the period. Our dog population has remained quite high due to several multi-dog intakes, and large dogs continue to be pretty slow to get adopted, and that is a nationwide trend. Our cat population has been relatively low these last 2 months due to normal seasonal reductions in the intake of cats. At this time of year, we've also had very strong cat adoptions and significant transfers to placement partners, which has been very helpful to us. On January 17th, we had kind of a tough day. We were called the night before to assist with a deadly RV fire in which one person and one cat perished. On the 17th, we were contacted by a friend of the deceased who reported that the deceased had actually left 11 additional cats, live cats, most of them elderly and in poor condition, in carriers in a U-Haul trailer, along with five previously deceased cats. So our officers responded to investigate and rescue those live animals. That same day, we were contacted about the emergency closure of a local shepherd rescue organization. With the help of the group's volunteers, we took in six large dogs and three macaws from that situation. Unfortunately, most of the dogs were too aggressive to be placed. One was transferred and one is available for adoption. The macaws are going to be transferred to a partner organization later this week. So I mentioned this, although we were not able to save all of the animals from those difficult situations, I do want to publicly commend the staff for how they handled both of those situations on a very busy day and night. They worked incredibly well as a team. They were non-judgmental and kind with everyone that was involved, and they made responsible and ethical decisions regarding the care and the outcomes of the animals. So I just really want to extend my appreciation to the shelter staff, the animal control staff, and also the law enforcement agencies and first responders who were part of the RV fire situation and the entire team who really pulled together on that day. Staffing is in pretty good shape right now. We hired Tina Corvello, who had been an extra help worker in animal care, to be our new animal health specialist, and we're scheduling interviews for a new animal control officer. We hope to hire extra help for animal care and client services in the coming months to gear up for our busiest seasons, which are usually spring and summer. Our new departmental administrative analyst, that's a mouthful, Gerardo Leon Garcia, will start on February 18th. Since we have so many new members on the board, I will have Gerardo reach out to you this week, in his first week or so, to provide background information about the shelter and also to schedule some shelter tours with those of you who are interested in coming to tour the shelter and maybe have more of a conversation with me about the shelter and what our goals and how we operate. So moving on to our statistics, we took in a total of 951 live non-wild animals in December and January. That's 92 fewer than last year during this period. Take that as a win. If you remove the owner requested euthanasia from the outcomes, that means we have had a euthanasia rate the last 2 months of 11.5%. For the 2024 calendar year, we were up to nearly 6,000 non-wild live intakes and over 5,800 outcomes with a 13.6% euthanasia rate at our shelter. I refer to non-wild intakes for those of you who are new. The shelter does take in a lot of wild animals as intakes. All of those are badly injured or ill and brought to us by wildlife rescue, and so all of those end up being humanely euthanized. And so mostly I report on the non-wild intakes with these statistics. Excuse me. So we have booked venues for our Healthy Pets for All vaccine clinics at various sites around the county for 2025. You can see the first three here on the slide. We've also been meeting with public health partners to explore whether some of those clinics can also provide flu, COVID-19, and possibly some other vaccinations for humans as well. Our first Animal Balance by Planned Pethood Community Spay Neuter event will take place this weekend. That event is fully booked. And then there were questions last time about out-of-county use of those services. And so for the two Animal Balance clinics that we conducted in 2024, of the 396 total pets that got fixed, 24 of those pets, that's 6%, they had 20 owners, were from outside of Santa Cruz County. We did not restrict signups for county residents for this week's clinic. And for this clinic, out of, but I did just look at the numbers this morning, out of the 208 animals that are scheduled for that clinic this weekend, 16 are from out of county. That's 7.6%. So that number has crept up just slightly from the last two events in 2024. At the direction of the board, we could potentially disallow the low income rate for those who want to come from out of county, or we could disallow out of county registration entirely. So I don't know whether the board wants to make a decision on that today or not, but that is something that we could potentially accommodate in the next two clinics for 2025. As far as the facilities go, the Shelter Foundation's handyman has just about completed upgrades to our annex kitchen. That'll be great for clinics. And I have that little picture in the bottom right there. My husband and I made it our MLK Day community service project to paint some safety stripes on the bumpers in our parking lot because we kept having volunteers trip over them. And I wasn't going to mention it except that I had like four volunteers come to me and thank me for getting that done. So apparently it was a neat thing. Our next project will be to paint the actual curb white so that that's a little more visible as well. I don't know that I'll do it, but maybe my husband will take that on. We have selected, for Watsonville, we've selected a fencing contractor, and now we're just waiting for a start date in order to replace the western perimeter fencing at Watsonville, which has been in planning stages for a while. And then we've also, our pilot to seal between the dog kennels in Watsonville seems to be going quite well, so we're going to go ahead and proceed with sealing all of the kennels in the Watsonville shelter to prevent water from flowing underneath the kennel dividers. Which will be great for disease prevention. And then that sketch there is just another rendering of the storage facility and carport that the foundation and I are continuing to develop plans for. And as Nam mentioned, we're currently evaluating a couple of contractors. A $40,000 gift has already been secured toward that project, and the foundation is seeking additional funding for that project. Then, as Na also mentioned, the foundation is currently running a fundraising campaign called Awkward Pet Portraits, and I gave you all a couple of flyers. I hope you'll take those and post them at your workplace and or your favorite lunch spot or coffee spot. And then, let's see, and that has a QR code that makes it easy for people to get to. And then, as Leah mentioned and Nal mentioned, I do want to thank the Santa Cruz County Parks for allowing our benefit shop to use the building at Bell Street and 17th at a very affordable rate for the last five to seven years, okay. And I also want to appreciate and thank our contracted shop manager, Leah Goodman. Leah has provided remarkable service and works her tail off to run the shop, has done very well. All these years, she coordinates an incredible group of volunteers. Since 2014, the shop was in operation at a different location prior to moving into the Felt Street location. But since 2014, the shop has contributed over $260,000 net to the operations of the shelter. So Leah and her volunteers have created a really wonderful shop community, and as Leah mentioned, they are working to move forward, and yeah, there we go. They're looking to move forward under a new name, a Love of Animals Benefit Shop, and operate the benefit shop at a new location. And I think that's it. We do have a Valentine's Day special going on through Saturday.
Thank you. Any discussion from the board? I'm sorry. Open to public comment regarding the manager's report. Seeing none. Any discussion from the board?
I have a. Sense of the microphone. I have a question about the planned pet hood clinic and the in-county versus out-of-county. I'm wondering if we have a waiting list for any in-county residents who are waiting for a spot for a spay or neuter.
Yes, we do have a waiting list. We set up a waiting list this time around, and so we're collecting names. If we have cancellations this week leading up to the clinic, we will contact those folks and see if they can. It gets a little complicated because the slots have to be a certain gender and a certain species and of a certain weight. So if we, for example, if we have a golden retriever spay that cancels, then we can contact anybody on the waiting list that has a large dog spay. And so we do have a waiting list for that. And then anybody that doesn't get on the list for this time around, we will contact them as soon as we go live with signups for the May clinic. So yes, we do have a waiting list.
Thank you. And then my other question is in regards to the people who are signing up from out of county, do you get any information from them as to why they've signed up? Is it for the low cost or how they found out about it or anything like that? I mean, I hate to turn away people, but I also, since it is subsidized spay-neuter, you know, my priority would be for in-county residents. So I'm just curious if you have more information.
We don't have a way to get information about how they found out about it at this point. We might be able to add like a little survey question or something at the end of the sign-up, which would be interesting to see. What we do have is the city that, or the sort of the jurisdiction that somebody's from. And what we see is that some of those folks that we talked about in the last meeting, a lot of those folks are right along the boundaries of our county. But we do have quite a few people who sign up from San Jose, from Gilroy. And so what I suspect is that there are not lower cost services available in their own area. And so they hear about this however they hear about it. We have had, in one of our clinics in 2024, we had somebody from Florida, and we've also had people from Fremont and, you know, sort of farther out. And what we suspect is that those may be people who are part-time residents of Santa Cruz County who come and spend quite a bit of time, and they find out about it because they are, you know, they're sort of remote members of the Santa Cruz County community. But yeah, so I think that's another thing to think about in terms of some of the out-of-county residents is that they may actually be part-time residents of our county, in which case if they bring their pets with them, it's helpful if those pets are altered. So yeah, we could restrict, you know, we could make the other thing to think about is that anybody who pays the full amount, the $300 for a dog or the $150 for a cat, is actually subsidizing some of the low-cost participants. So it may make more sense to just not allow the low income rates for those who are signing up from out of county. That might be because in a sense they'd be paying into the system without getting as much of the deduction or the subsidy.
We don't have any recommended action, so I'm not sure we could take an action today on this. We couldn't take an action today on this, but I'm curious if the rest of the board has any thoughts on whether we would want to in the future. But before I end, I just want to thank Leah for all your time and effort for the benefit shop and all your contributions. It's been really wonderful, and we look forward to having your new nonprofit supporting the shelter.
And I look forward to continuing. Thank you.
Thank you.
When does the new benefit shop open?
With fingers crossed, we will be closing March 15th at the present location, and then opening on the 5th of April at the new location. That will give us an opportunity to get things in order, and we hope to open on the very first Thursday of April, and I think that's the 5th.
Just the follow-up question is, there was mention of the extension of 6 months for insurance. Is that something to be brought to the board for discussion, or is that?
I would appreciate that, yes. It would be very helpful for us to have that that in line. May I stand and address you again? As it turns out, we have a letter of intent with the landlords at the new location, and they are expecting us to make good for a lease on March 1. So we need to have all of these ducks lined up in an order. And so we would like to have a response as to whether or not we can expect
the extension for the insurance by then. Does that answer the question?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion?
And just to clarify, the or just as a note, the Leah just brought that request to me on Friday. Or was it yesterday? I think it was just yesterday on the phone, Saturday on the phone, something, either one of those. So that that's why it's not an item for consideration on the agenda.
I think our current insurance is probably paid for through the county on the property schedule. Is that right, over at the benefit shop?
I don't even know.
Yeah.
It might be under SDRMA or it may be under the county.
Yeah, it might be challenging just because of how the lease would be not county property, whereas the benefit shop is.
We can't take any action to, but can explore what those options might be available through us or in the county, or if they're having to go out on their own on the market to go get insurance, could be.
I don't think we can take action today.
No, we can't.
Amber can look into what our options are.
Yeah.
If we have any.
So on potentially the next meeting or via email, we'll have further discussion about that, what the options are.
Yeah, I think it'll have to be, since our next meeting won't be until April,
right?
It will have to be by email,
okay.
Conversation or possibly a meeting.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know.
Okay, ready to move on? We'll move on to hear the subcommittee report.
Right, Amber, do you want me to get the report?
Sure, that'd be great.
Okay. So I am on, I think I'm the lone remaining member on the subcommittee. As noted in the report, there's been a lot of turnover. I'm trying to get to my item. So I prepared this brief status report from the subcommittee today. Like I noted, the County of Santa Cruz, City of Watsonville, and City of Santa Cruz were selected as the members of the subcommittee. I've been working with Lisa Murphy, who is soon going to be leaving me on the subcommittee and the board. And I think the city's gonna be figuring out her replacement. But Natalie Manning is joining the subcommittee, and Jose Garcia will be joining the subcommittee and replacing John Bush. But we've been working, we've met four times over the last year. We had a couple meetings in the summer and fall of last year. And then we met again in late fall going into the winter a couple times. And our last report, I won't go into that one, but most recently we've been kind of focusing our efforts on shelter improvements, the improvements down at the Watsonville shelter, helping to provide guidance to Amber as she was navigating how to pursue those, and then as well as strategic plan development. Lisa Murphy offered to help draft the request for proposal, which has been done and it's ready to issue. I think the one remaining item that we have yet to figure out, or that we need direction from the board on, is whether there's a budget to do the strategic plan. And so as part of this, I put in here that we're asking the board to consider directing the general manager to include $50,000 in next year's proposed budget for strategic plan development. And that would help us work with a consultant. There's a lot of work that has to be done as part of strategic plan development. Anything from looking at the shelter and the county's strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and barriers, to doing all of the engagement with shelter staff and the public around this, and then helping us to come up with the shelter's vision, mission, goals, and a work plan for accomplishing our strategic plan. So I was feeling like, I don't think it would exceed 50,000, but I think we could have a a budget of that, and then if we get a consultant who proposes something less than that, we could always contract for something less than that amount. But our goal would be to have Amber put that into the proposed budget that she will present on April 14th. As well, I think the subcommittee has, I think it's been helpful for her to bring issues to that group to talk through them and get ideas. So we would be asking for an extension of the subcommittee for another year until February of 2026 to work with her on the strategic plan development, as well as some of the other areas that she needs assistance with. And we could come back with our next status report in 6 months on August 2025. And then Lisa, since you're the other member, I don't know if you have anything to add, but that's my oral report, and I'm happy to answer the board's questions.
I don't have anything to add. That was great. Thank you.
Okay.
Any questions? Seeing none. Okay, thank you.
I'll just add that for the newer members, the shelter has, as far as I know, and as far as Nicole knows, the shelter has not had a strategic plan previously. So this would be the first time that the shelter's had a strategic plan. And I think for me, the most, one of the key elements of a strategic plan, of going through a strategic plan process, and it is, it's a lot, but one of the great benefits would be to get input from the community, because I think, I'm not sure that that voice has been heard very well. Animal shelters tend to hear a lot from people who are, you know, intense animal advocates, but we don't necessarily hear from average folks in the community about what they think is important for animal services. So that to me would be a super valuable part of a strategic planning process.
Thank you. And Lisa, were you thinking of a motion for the budget allocation?
I was gonna do all three. Okay. Unless there's public comment.
Are there any public comments on this agenda item? Seeing none. Go ahead.
I make a motion on the recommendations 1, 2, and 3 as written in the staff report to approve.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any abstentions? Seeing none? Okay.
We will move to...
We did not cover 6.3 yet, correct? No. Authorize the extension of service contract with JPA Council. This is open to the public for any comment or any discussion from the board. Any public comment? Discussion from the board?
Could we get, do you have have any of the elements of the contract changed, or is it pretty much status quo?
The only element of the contract that has changed is that we have increased the possible annual maximum to be paid to JPA Council because the contract was originally approved in 2018, and actually the number of hours that Council has been required has significantly exceeded the amount that was originally in that contract. So we've increased that amount to bring the maximum for annual expenditure in this in that budget category up to, I believe it's $60,000 potentially annually.
And I noticed that the contract is just for the current fiscal year. Do you intend to bring it back every year, or did you want to enter into a multi-year contract?
What we need to do, the county has just created a new template, a new recommended template for service contracts of this nature. And so the shelter plans to integrate that new recommended template into any new contracts that we enter. But since this contract had already ended,
We wanted to be as expedient as possible, so we've used essentially the old boilerplate for a service contract, and would like to just complete this fiscal year under that contract, and then we will create a new contract. We're already working on a new contract for the next fiscal year, and it'll be a multi-year contract for JPA Council that we'll consider and approve in June, or hopefully approve, I should say.
Okay, thank you. So do we have a motion to authorize the extension of this service contract? We did that already.
I don't think we did.
We didn't.
Yeah.
Do we have a motion for that?
I'll move to approve.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any abstentions? Great, seeing none.
Sorry, was that Murphy as a second?
Yes.
Okay.
Moving to regular agenda item 6.4, authorize the appropriation of $9,000 from the Gene Trust for fencing in Watsonville. So we're asking to authorize the appropriation of the allocated funds. Open to the public for any comment. Seeing none, any discussion from the board? Seeing none, do we have a motion? Lisa?
I'll motion to approve.
Second.
Johnny, second. Thank you. We have a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any abstentions? Seeing none, we will move on to our final, which is adjournment to closed session. Thank you for your attendance. Those of you from the public that took the time to come and see us today. We are now going to adjourn to have a closed session. Thank you.
Amber, do you have any more of these?
I do.
I'll take a couple more.
Great. I am not sure. I think.
Is there a conference room in the back?
Yeah, I think we requested the conference room in the back.
All right, okay.
And hopefully that was approved. So I think the closed session will be back here.
Yes.
Back here in the conference room.
Yeah. He's out. Can water away.
Thank you, sir.
And were you gonna come back to report?
No.
All right.
We're basically done. Uh-oh.